Who's our guest this week? You have a place at our table, and it's just us. Let's talk on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And we're glad you're here. I said it already once, and we'll say it several times during the program. And I'll say it with extreme honesty and authenticity. We are glad you join us, and you always have a place at our table. And in case you're wondering, I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy, and our executive producer, Matthew Porter, is here. Matthew, you have a birthday coming up. Have you hit middle age yet?
Middle age? No, I don't think it's middle age. Middle age is like when you only listen to music that you grew up with and you never want to go out of the house. You only want to stay home. You just want to take now. Oh, my gosh, I'm middle aged. I didn't do the math on that one.
Well, welcome to, you know, as a really old guy going through the winter of his life. I'm experimenting because of you guys with new stuff. So,
all right.
Who knows? Our producer, Jinx, is in his little glass booth. Jinx just watched his favorite scary movie, The Night the Mic Battery Died.
What? That's a movie?
No, but just she's for produce guys. One, man. That's a scary thought, just the title, isn't it?
Man,
Mike Battery can be a new superhero.
Well, yes. Jinx didn't say anything. It might be the battery in his microphone is dead.
It could be. I actually had an experience of that the last week, but it turned out the pastor just didn't turn it on.
That's why
I always lock them. I always lock them every time.
That happens frequently, doesn't it?
Who trusts them with the on and off switch?
The best part was he like looked and pointed at me four or five times before I finally pointed back at him and he reached down and turned it on. So I'm like, yeah.
You know, you think it's on as a speaker who uses those microphones, those who are not skilled at producing the sound, who are asleep at the switch, miss the first sentence every time. And so I get up and pretend I'm talking so the sound guy will turn up the little knob and we can proceed. Not you, Jinx. When I have been speaking and you were running all of the equipment, it was right on, except when the battery died. And that was a very, very hard time. By the way, our video director and one-man IT department, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. John is a computer guy, so he looks for bugs. And it's interesting what he drives, a VW bug. And John never talks on this program, but I wonder if that's an accident or if it's planned as a statement. And he won't say.
He won't answer you. No.
He's waiting for the great SWAT
blinking
from
code.
The sky.
Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. George wants to remind you to exercise regularly, especially your check writing hand. And Kathy Wyatt is the soft feminine side of this program. And Kathy, you're sure we don't have a guest today on purpose? We didn't accidentally kick somebody off, did we?
Well, it wouldn't be any of us. If somebody had ticked somebody off, that would be you that would have done that. So I would assume that you would be ready to tell us if you had done that.
Two separate questions. Yes, no guest on purpose. Did we tick somebody off?
Heard.
Completely
I'm
separate
very
question.
Sensitive. Hey, listen, let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're not really sure. Matthew Porter took time to list a number of programs, and that would include a number of subjects. And we could go down a number of different roads and say profound and wonderful things about each of those subjects. Controversial ones, too. So we're going to just kind of sit around, and it's just us, and we're going to talk. We do that a lot at Key Life. We just don't have a microphone or a camera on when we do it. So there is a sense in which you're going to see behind the scenes and what happens all the time in our offices, the international headquarters of Key Life Network Incorporated. We were going to get a sign that said that, but the building was too small to accommodate the sign, which was too large. But we were able to get up Key Life, and that seemed to work. I'm going to just kind of open this conversation a little bit. We had a program a number of weeks ago that was called Struggling with Evangelicalism. It was Dan Stringer, and I liked him a lot. And I think he had some very important things to say, but we didn't get the book, and I didn't read it. Now, I learned that from Larry King, whom I've met on two or three occasions. And sometime I'll tell you about that. But I one time was with Larry King, and he started asking me, he was an atheist or an agnostic, and started asking me, we were at lunch, religious questions. And I said, I can answer all your questions, but I want a commitment from you. If I answer all of your questions in a satisfactory way so that you agree that it's cogent and right and true, will you then on your national program announce that you have become a Christian? Or are you just asking questions because you like to ask questions? And he thought for a moment. He said, nobody ever asked me that before. And then he said, I'll get back to you. And he never did, which meant he didn't care. He was not asking questions to find. Well, at any rate, Larry King taught me one thing that's important. That is, never read the book before you interview the author. If you read the book, you and the author are going to talk about esoteric things that don't concern the audience. But if you've never read the book, and the audience has never read the book, then you'll ask the questions they would ask if they were interviewing the person. Now, I don't always do that, but I did it with Mr. Springer. And as I said, I liked him. But we've checked on the book subsequent to that time. And I think I made a statement that I was to the right of Genghis Khan politically. And I think it scared him a little bit, so he cut back what he would usually say. But when we checked the book, we found out that he was very, very to the left politically. And when he talked about, and he didn't say so, but when he talks about hope in the evangelical community, and the reason he's staying, it was because things are turning left. Well, that would be my reason for leaving. But I'm not going to leave because of a fact about evangelicalism, and that is that it includes a great variety of opinions and views, everything from a television evangelist whose wife has big hair to scholars at Harvard and Cambridge and Oxford. It includes a great variety of colleges and graduate schools all over the country. And by the way, don't believe what the press says about evangelicalism. They talk about negatives, that we're a bunch of rednecks who refuse to get vaccines, who don't care about anything, who are homophobic, and who are racist. That's a lie, and it's from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. The truth is, we build more hospitals around the world than anybody else. World Vision is an evangelical movement. Samaritan's Purse is an evangelical. We feed more hungry people than anybody on the face of the earth. We're in more inner cities with ministries than anybody else around. I went to a very left-leaning graduate school of theology at Boston University, and they talked a lot about the city. And a lot of the students were going to change what was going on in the inner city, and they made a public commitment to it. And not one single student was there a year after they graduated from the seminary. But I had friends who had been there for 40 years, who had planted churches, who had loved, who had fed the hungry, who created ministries that changed things. That's the true faith of evangelicalism. And so we'll talk about it a little bit more on the other side of the break. I just noticed the clock. I get to talking and there's no break. Sorry about that, guys. We're going to back up for a little while. I'm going to turn it down on my talking all the time, and you're going to hear from some other people. Meanwhile, just sit still. I promise it's going to get better. Okay? We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, you're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and thanks for hanging out with us. And if you didn't know, you can also watch this show on our Key Life YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/Key Life Network. And while you're there, why not click subscribe and add to our family? Just a word, and then I'm going to be quiet. Matthew suggested that I clarify my clarification. You know, that's the trouble with a preacher. They start talking and they keep talking till something comes to mind. I am an evangelical, but I'm also a conservative one. And the guy we interviewed is not. And I just wanted to make it clear that I don't agree with his political views. And I'm right. And he's wrong. I think that's fairly clear.
So there.
But the other stuff was good. What? What were you saying, Kathy?
I just said, you said, I'm right, he's wrong. And I said, so there.
So
that's
there,
it.
Yeah. Thought we, a good thing for us to do is just talk about some of the programs that we have had on this program. We agree with some of our guests and some of them we don't agree with. But generally, everybody we have on this broadcast is a Christian and a practicing Christian, and they have things to say, even if I wince when they say them, because there's a demonstration going on here, and that is a demonstration of kindness in the midst of disagreement. And we cheer when we disagree, no, when we agree. And we're quiet and kind when we disagree. And that's the way Christians are supposed to do it. What are some of your favorite programs?
Well, can I just, before you get into that part, can I just say one thing? I really liked Kevin Williams. He was a really, really nice guy. He's the guy in Atlanta that owns 3 Chick-fil-A franchises.
Oh, yeah.
But I do have to say that I was greatly, greatly disappointed because I was hoping that he would give a lifetime supply of Chick-fil-A to Matthew because Matthew, after all, has 4 children who love Chick-fil-A. And Matthew only got 1 coupon. So I have to say that I wasn't angry. I was just a little disappointed.
Well,
so.
He says he's a Christian. He's probably not saved. But he is rich. And if you thought you were going to get more than 1 coupon, you're crazy, Matthew.
I'd say you got to go for the ask, man. These kids are bent on eating 3 meals a day.
That was a good program. He was fun to have on.
He was great. He really was. Really was
Matthew,
good guy.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, you know, not just
that's a cop out answer. Come on,
I know. I got an answer. 60% of these I would watch again.
no, half
the time it works every time. So one that stood out to me is Rachel Joy Welcher. She was the author of Talking Back to Purity Culture. And I was thinking she was kind of an analog to Dan Stringer, where this is a certain culture I grew up in, and I'm going to say some direct things towards it, but I'm not going to just throw rocks. I don't know if that analog was quite as there as we had thought, but her whole point was speaking to some of the inadvertent myths and mistruths that got passed along in the 80s and 90s in purity culture. You know, if you do these things, then God's going to do these things for you. And, you know, the result is either folks who slip from a sexual purity point of view and somehow have it in their head that they're useless to God and not loved anymore, which is obviously unbiblical, or you've got people who, you know, hold to the line in their minds, you know, that they're supposed to, and they feel like either they're owed something from God or they've got this just stench of self-righteousness or both. And she just had a very winsome and charming way of speaking about this, and not from an academic point of view, because she lived it. She lived that kind of heartache of that disconnect between what I thought things were going to be and what they were. So she stands
out. She offended everybody because she holds to a very clear sexual teaching of the Bible. I mean, mm-hmm. she hadn't changed a bit of that. She just changed the heresy that was being seen. And it's everywhere. It's not just about sexual morality. If I remain a virgin, then I'll marry the right man and we'll join hands and walk off into the sunset together. And that doesn't always happen. But that's a part of a deeper theological problem that is extant in the church and always has been there, not just among evangelicals and Orthodox Christians, but almost all Christians. You know, I got to be good. I got to do it right. And then it's called divine earthly reward or divine earthly retribution. And people will quote Hebrews 11 or 12 on discipline and say, Jesus loves you, but if you get out of line, he's going to break your legs. So we make God into a child abuser, or on the other side, we make him into a Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. If I've been good all year, I won't get colds. I'll get nice toys. And that's the heresy that she was talking about, I think.
Yeah. Is the prosperity gospel thing kind of just a different flavor of this, you know, the bad version of the purity culture thing? If I do this, I get this.
I think it can be, and I'm not throwing rocks at those guys. You know, I think I've often said that they believe God says yes to everything, and we're Calvinists, and we believe God says no to everything, and you just got to deal with it because he's sovereign. So I'm not throwing rocks, but I think sometimes those of us who are more Orthodox or who are Reformed, we do present a God who is not very concerned, who doesn't answer prayers, who's sovereign, and it almost sounds Islamic in the way we present it. But yeah, prosperity theology is often, if you exercise the right faith principles, then you'll be healthy and wealthy and wise, and everything will go fine. And then you get cancer, and you've got a very big problem. I was teaching a course in a secular college on Pauline theology. It wasn't a course, it was a couple of lectures. And the teacher had a child with juvenile diabetes. And somebody told her if she would remove his medication, that God would heal the kid. And I said, young lady, you're very fortunate I'm here because you need somebody to talk to you. I'm going to pray those people get the fever and die because they've been lying to you and they've put you in a horrible place. And she started crying and I fixed it. I fixed it not because I'm so smart, but because I know what the Bible really says. We're in a religion where our founder died on a cross crying that his God had forsaken him. That ought to say something about our crosses and what we go through and God's faithfulness. We'll come back. You do too.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. You always have a place at our table. We're just sitting around talking. By the way, we now have a free Key Life app that's available for both iPhone and Android, and it's just plain amazing. John Myers et al. Put this thing together, and it took them months, and it is incredible. So go to your iPhone or Android store and pick it up, or you can go to keylife.org/app.
Nice.
By the way, Matthew, you wanted to lecture on the 5 points of Calvinism, right?
Yes, I know you're all in on Calvinism, but I hope I'm not outing you here. You're not a on fire fan of Chick-fil-A. And to try to bring you on board, I did come across an interesting theological treatise called The 5 Points of Calvinism from Chick-fil-A. Goes through the tulip, right? So T for totally delicious. U stands for unconditional refreshment. L, limited openings. They're not open on Sunday. I, irresistible waffle fries. I think we can agree that's true. And P stands for pleasure is theirs. They always say the pleasure is, it's my pleasure to help you. So anything I could do to help you get you on the Chick-fil-A bandwagon.
Didn't work for me, but it was an interesting play.
All right. I thought
that's not true.
The tulip now, of Calvinism.
Now, wait a minute. You like it in the summertime when they have peach milkshakes.
Oh, Yeah, but that's limited. I always go into the parking lot at one of the kids and say, have you got peach milkshakes? And if they say yes, I'll eat some of the chicken to get the peach milkshake.
Well, see, and there you go. There's the L for limited, just like limited atonement and all of that. There's the limited
milkshakes.
Limited milkshakes.
So I'm so glad
and
the
it
L
really
didn't...
makes me angry when they stop. They ought to be able to get peaches year round. You can get them at the grocery store year round.
Yeah, they could
they
probably
just
get them from
put a little bit of effort into it.
Get them from South
about
America.
Your favorite program.
What did you say, George?
Well, I was just going to say that I was so glad the L didn't stand for chicken lips.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's the other place.
I just wanted to mention that how much I really enjoyed Eric Mason. Eric's a pastor in Philadelphia and African-American. And we had been trying for a long time to get him. He's so busy. And he came out with a new book this last year called Restoring Black Dignity. And it was a real eye-opener for me because unfortunately, a lot of times we are only hear a certain view of this whole, you know, this whole issue of racism and, you know, everything that falls into that general category. And as an African-American man, I thought he was incredibly insightful and has some wonderful things that he's doing in Philly and that he's working together with other African-American pastors to try and bring about, you know, a change in all of that. I thought it was a great interview.
And I think we all learn things we didn't know about organizations within the Black community, about some of the problems they're dealing with. And by the way, he's not into critical race theory, but he made it very clear that if you're not into critical race theory, that doesn't mean there isn't a problem. And we as Christians need to be aware of those problems. We need to repent. We have a lot to repent of. But we just have you, George, said you were reading Vadi's book on critical race theory. You're not into it heavy yet, right?
Yeah, I just started it. And it looks as if he's going to address, you know, as you started off with evangelicalism, and he's looking at the point of critical race theory and social justice being one of the very points that will be continue to be a division point with the evangelical church. And he looks like he's contrasting social justice with biblical justice. And but that being, again, the point that is likely to continue to divide the evangelical church.
What's the title of that book?
Fault Lines.
Yeah, great book. I read it 2 or 3 months ago. And he speaks with great authority because he's been there. He's done that. He is very clear about biblical justice being exercised by Christians. But you can't let pagans tell you what that is, and you can't fight racism with racism. But boy, those of us who are in this community, especially those of us who are white, if you believe in some kind of corporate sin, by looking at our history, there's certainly things we need to get on our knees and say, we're so sorry, and we want to make it right. And making it right is something that Christians should be about all the time. And that doesn't mean that you have to agree with the methodologies of people who are not Christian and who are saying things that are very harmful and divisive and hurtful to all of us. And we have to watch that kind of thing. Guys, we have a pile more programs to discuss, and we'll get to one or two of them on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
It was irritating.
irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. Hey, we're so glad you're here. It's just us sitting around talking. By the way, if you like this program and you watch it regularly, you might want to join our email list. Once a week, we'll send you an article or a video just to remind you that God's not mad at you. And while you're thinking about it, go to keylife.org/subscribe. We'll put you on the list and give you a bunch of free stuff. And then you'll rise up and call us blessed. And if your rich aunt dies, you'll send a portion of your inheritance to this particular ministry. I mean, it's always about money, right?
Go for the ask.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I think George.
Well, yeah. I could mention, among the many, and I checked off several, but one that stood out and was sort of surprising to me because of more the public image that he has, but our interview with Ken Starr on his book on religious liberty. And, you know, he's really a very winsome kind of a guy. I mean, enjoyable to interview, but, addressing some really serious points. And of course, his scholarly legal background gets well above our day-to-day issues, but we are seeing them. I mean, over this past year, we experienced, what seemed like selective mandated closings during the COVID crisis, where, you know, liquor stores seem to be essential businesses to remain open while churches, you know, couldn't even meet in their drive-in parking lot for worship services. And it seems like it does kind of speak to a larger point of the, in general, the attack on a lot of the traditional perspectives and traditional values and traditional institutions in the country that we're seeing at an increasing rate of attack on those and undermining of those. But in any case, I thought Ken Starr provided some encouragement in terms of the groups that were addressing some of those issues from the religious liberty standpoint.
And he makes those points that are important. You know, just in the case of Ken Starr, if you only watched the mainstream media back in the days when the Clinton impeachment was going on, Ken Starr was trashed. He was turned into a monster, somebody who had a hidden agenda, who liked to hurt people, who was probably doing it for money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that is so far from the truth. And I think that our program demonstrated that. What a gentle, kind, compassionate, quiet, brilliant guy. And that reminds me that in this area of religion, And in the area of people, when we're talking about Christians and religious institutions, don't ever allow those to be defined by people who are not people of faith. E.V. Hill said that one time. He said, don't let pagans define brothers and sisters to you, because generally they have an agenda. And in this case, as Ken Starr said, an agenda of trying to get rid of those of us who hold some traditional views in a lot of areas about the family, about sexuality, about integrity, about truth. And so Ken Starr was not only a brilliant guy saying brilliant things, he was an illustration of how people who are not believers get it wrong. Matthew, do you have another one?
Well, you know, during the break, I mentioned one that I think Jinx kind of connected with as well. Jinx, what was the guest that had jumped out to you?
Oh, the Bobby Joe Reed story was just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think we kept the whole thing on the YouTube run, but, you know, to fit the radio show, I had to cut, almost 3 minutes of really cool rambling. So like I had to go in and take out pieces that wouldn't alter the story, but that could concise them if she repeated a concept of it, you know. But just, I spent a lot of time on that show, and after it was done, and I just couldn't wait to learn more about it. It's an incredible, incredible guest.
Yeah, and if somebody's not familiar with it or had forgotten, she had gotten involved with drugs and prostitution and drinking at a shockingly young age, and there's every reason in the world why she should be dead today, but Jesus found her, and the turnaround was amazing. Not only changed her life, she created a ministry that's reached out to women in that same situation, and there's just this kind of concentric circles around this woman who just a force of nature that's just bringing God's life into this part of her city. And they made a documentary about it. You should go seek out that episode
Under the
of
Influence,
Key Life.
Right?
Under the Influence. It was such a good show. Amazing
it
story.
Was. And it's a reminder to all of us. I don't think we ought to be fanatics and yelling about it all the time and telling others that they're lost and we're glad. But I think it's important, if you see something, you say something. And she saw something, and she said something, and then she did something. And Christians need to do that. This is not a time to be quiet or to be silenced. It's a time to speak kindly, but clearly, with what we hold to be true. And they don't know it, but as a matter of fact, as long as we're willing to do that and willing to stand, we're doing them a favor. That's where we get our freedoms. That's why in some countries, if you're gay, they'll kill you, and that won't happen in this country because of Christian values that are at the heart of our legal system. And man, we've had great guests on this program. A lot of people that we met and listened to and said things that we hadn't thought about before. And I suspect that as long as Kathy will keep doing her job with the superb gifts she has, we'll keep having these kinds of guests. And then occasionally we'll stop and review some of them, make up for things we wish we had said but didn't during the program, and then make an obscene gesture at the ones we didn't like. Guys, we're going to come back and tell you who will be our sterling guest next week on Key Life. And again, don't forget what I told you. You can get... you can get our app by going to keylife.org/app. You'll be glad I told you about it. It really is amazing.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Well, we have finished another hour, the beginning of which was kind of anxiety producing because we didn't have a guest. And then it turned out well. And we'll land the plane gently as we bring this program to an end. By the way, you are a part of this and we listen to you. You know, not your nonsense. Some of you are so angry and you say things that you think bother us and it doesn't. But honest stuff and maybe suggestions about somebody you would like to have on this program are listened to very carefully. And we try to bring the kind of people that you would invite into your living room if you had a chance. And because we're on so many radio stations and good many people subscribe to the video, these people are willing to come on. So you can if you'll let us know people that you think have a message that ought to be heard by others, let us know and we'll check it down and see what we can do. By the way, Kathy, who's next week?
Well, we have a return visit by our friend Jordan Rayner, who's been with us before, who has a new book out called Redeeming Your Time. This has me a little concerned. Seven biblical principles for being purposeful, present, and wildly productive.
I don't want to be purposeful.
Well,
I'll be napping.
I don't want to be wildly
See,
productive.
I'm concerned about
and I
that.
I don't want to feel guilty because
okay.
I'm not.
Just a minute. You asked me, and so I'm trying to explain. I think we liked him so much, we're going to run him up the flagpole again. But this wildly productive part is of great concern to me. I'm not sure about anybody else, but.
And he bases it on this guy. Hold on. Who is it? Jesus.
There you go.
Yes.
He's probably a fanatic.
Yes. So
anyway, so there you go. There's
I already
next
feel
week.
The guilt.
I'm not sure I'll have time to get to it.
I don't know if that was the point of it, but I feel it.
Jinx feels the guilt. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Boy, it's so easy to make me feel guilty.
Is it nap
with a word or a look
it
or
is.
A comment, and then somebody like Matthew brings up Jesus, and that is the nail in
ordained.
The coffin. I mean, that's when I am sure he's saying, I've had it with you.
Probably.
I'm going to,
Probably.
Yeah, I guess so.
And all this stuff about him not being mad at you goes right down the tube. But I still believe it. Clinging to it. Proclaiming it. And it's true. Or you don't have a prayer and neither do I. Hey guys, we're out of here. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. It's our fond hope that you'll join us. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.
Right? We should do a show where we just talk the whole time.
Exactly. We should.